are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality. Question Reality. With Priscilla Leona. Priscilla Leona. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a future career in the entertainment industry. Our guest on the show will provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. And our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios and listen to their interview instantly, or even download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. If you're listening to me live, you're already there, so go to the top and follow those instructions. Now, this takes you directly to the archive page, our archive page, and this is where you can view the list of all of our past guests from 2008 until 2014. I can't believe I've been on the air that long. My goodness, this is longer than my television producer career. All right, so we have lots of guests. We have celebrities, award winners. We have casting directors, producers, actors, directors, models, musicians, stunt people, reality stars. You name it, I got them on there. And this year, our focus is to bring more behind the scenes people on the show. I've gotten a lot of emails over the past year asking, what other jobs are there in show business? What if I come out there and I come out to be an actor and it doesn't work out, what other job can I get that would be fulfilling and satisfying in show business? So that's what our goal is this year. So lots of exciting people, including the guest that's going to be on the show today. Very exciting woman. Now, to finish out, let me just tell you that our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section and also on Stitcher.com. You just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box and we should come up on those web pages as well. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, that's a whole different website. That is our official website and that is the Question Reality website. So you want to go to QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. Question Reality RadioShow.com. And boy, I tell you, we're booked all the way until May, and I had to stop because they're just coming in fast and furious, and I have a whole waiting list from last year, and then I've got all of my favorite PR people that are trying to get their clients on. So I want to, again, make it a mixture where we have a lot of behind-the-scenes people. So if you know anyone, please encourage them if they work in the industry professionally. Have them send me an email, PriscillaLeona@yahoo.com, and tell me they want to be on the show, and then we'll check them out and make sure it works for both of us, and then we'll bring them on the show. Yeah, excellent. Now, as I said earlier, we have a wonderful guest on the show today. Fantastic, incredible. I love this woman. She's got a lot of moxie. I want you to check out her website. She doesn't have a website, but she is on Facebook, which is a website per se. Go there now and friend her or like her page. I'm not sure if she has a friend request or a like request, but go there now and I'll show you a little bit about her. It's facebook.com/Beverly, B-E-V-E-R-L-Y dot Pomeranz. I love that last name. It just makes me think of pomegranates, and then I get hungry, and then I want some pomegranate juice. So I sent my husband to the grocery store yesterday after I talked to her, and I'm like, I gotta have some pomegranate juice. But anyway, her name is Pomeranz, P-O-M-E-R-A-N-T-Z. So facebook.com/Beverly.Pomeranz. So go there now and check her out. And we're going to talk to her in a couple of minutes. Now, I have to say, Happy New Year. And the reason I'm saying that now instead of last week, which was the official first show of the year, is because I forgot to say it. And I got all these emails where they said, you didn't wish a Happy New Year. You didn't wish. Well, Happy New Year, people, my faithful and loyal listeners. I am so sorry I didn't say it last year. It is a Happy New Year. I am just loving the new year so far. And I'll tell you a couple reasons why. And I also want you guys to send me an email of why the year is just going so wonderfully for you. Any exciting things that have happened, and I'll read them on the air. So send me your stories of some fascinating things that have happened for you career-wise. I mean, I don't want any sex stories, even though I might request them and keep them on a personal download. But career questions would be a little bit better for the air. But send me some stories, and I'm going to be doing that all throughout the year. Whenever something exciting happens, email me, and I will read it on the air so that we can be inspired by your stories. So, first and foremost, I made it to see another year, basically. I'm not on death's door or anything, but you just never know what the hell is going to happen. And I take it as a personal victory to bring in a new year. So there you go. There's that. Now, secondly, I am so proud and honored to say, oh my gosh, that I have been hired to be a judge or a film screener for the Burbank Film Festival. Yay! Woo! I've always wanted to know how and why some of those films are chosen over others. And now I finally get to learn the secret. So I cannot wait to get started. So exciting. By the way, speaking of the Burbank Film Festival, they are now accepting film submissions for the film festival, which is going to take place this September 3rd through the 7th. So go to the website and check us out and get those films submitted before the deadline. So the website address is burbankfilmfest.org, burbankfilmfest.org. Boy, and wish me luck. Get your fingers and toes crossed, because I tell you, this is going to be a wild ride, but it's very exciting. All right. Oh, moving on. Now, let me tell you about Beverly. Beverly Pomeranz. Now, she has been a game show and reality television casting director for over 20 years. Some of her credits include Wild Animal Games with Ryan Seacrest as the host. You know that little hottie. I'd love to bend him over. Boy, he's a hot one. Ryan Seacrest. Family Feud, which is my absolute favorite game show of all time. She was on there when the hosts were Ray Combs and Richard Dawson. Oh, you know, he was like a little sex fiend. You just knew it. Boy, I love that Richard Dawson. Classic Concentration with Alex Trebek as a host. I don't know that game show. One of my other favorites, which Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader with Jeff Foxworthy. I'm telling you, I used to think I was smarter than a fifth grader until I started watching that show. And I'm like, oh my God, are these the questions that are on tests now in the fifth grade? I don't remember those damn questions when I was a fifth grader. But moving forward as a species. Okay. Don't Forget the Lyrics. Oh, I love that show. And it drove my husband crazy because I was singing. And of course, you know, people, I can't sing. You know, I've attempted it before on the show. Lost a lot of listeners, but with Wayne Brady, so she was casting director on that. Catch 21 with Alfonso Ribeiro, I believe, and don't quote me on it, we'll have to ask Beverly, but I think he used to play the guy, on that show with Will Smith. Carlton. He played the character of Carlton on the Will Smith show that was on forever. We're going to ask her. I can't remember it, but he's the one that did that dance, Carlton. Okay. Million Dollar Money Drop with Kevin Pollak as a host. I didn't even know Kevin Pollak was a host on a game show. Lingo, I've watched a couple times. I really like it. Bill Engvall is the host on that. Trust me, I'm a game show host. I've heard about that. I have not watched it yet, but I am going to check it out. D.L. Hughley, who I know is extremely funny, and Michael Ian Black are the hosts. And then Beverly also did a reality television show, cast a reality television show, which was called Hydra Executives. And this was similar to that Donald Trump show called The Apprentice that I used to watch. And then they kept bringing back the stars over and over and over. And I said, forget about it. And then Beverly also cast a movie called Truth About Carrie. So this is a lady who has had a very exciting life as a game show casting director. This is my second game show casting director. We had James Carhu on last year, and it was very fascinating. So I think we're going to get as much fascination from Beverly. So without further ado, welcome, Beverly. Are you going to bring us much fascination today?
Oh, my God. You are so funny, Priscilla. I love you. Yes, I am. I hope I can tell everybody how to get on a game show and how to have fun and how to get the business.
You are going to bring it. I'm telling you, I talked to you briefly yesterday, and you started telling me the funniest stories, which I actually forgot to tell our listeners, that after we go through the career advice, which is main priority for me in the show, we are going to talk to Beverly, and she is going to tell us about some funny stories from Family Feud, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, Lingo, and all of the game shows, and she has some hysterical stories. I mean, they are so funny. So it is, you better just keep on tuning in. You don't want to miss these stories. This is definitely worth a listen. But Beverly, let's start out. I start the show out with the question that everybody wants to know. And that is, when you were a child, you know how everybody wants to be something. I wanted to be Wonder Woman. What did you see yourself doing or being when you grew up as a child? What career did you see yourself pursuing?
You know, it was funny because I grew up in Los Angeles, so I was around television all the time. I loved watching award shows. I think it was kind of in my blood, but I never wanted to really be an actor. So that wasn't anything I really wanted to do. But somehow I think I always wanted to work behind the scenes doing something, but I never really thought that much about it until I started getting older, because I was extremely shy, really, really shy child. So I guess I didn't have aspirations of working in television until much later. And then I worked at banks, and then working at banks was with people, and I started becoming more outgoing. And then I thought one day, you know, I want to do something fun. I want to do something with people that are in a good mood, not in a bad mood. But I still didn't realize it would be casting. I wasn't sure what it was. And then I called a girlfriend, what are you doing, looking for a job, and I went to Merrill Heater's home, who created the original Hollywood Squares, shook his hand. My girlfriend said he had interviewed over 20 girls for the job. I got the job immediately, and it was front office work for a game show, and I thought, oh my gosh, how fun. And within three or four days working there, they promoted me to helping out in the casting department.
Wow! Now, we gotta make sure we slide this show for a whole hour, because I tell you, you got so many things that have happened in between. So let's go back. Let's go to my second question, which is, what are some of your non-entertainment industry jobs, and how do you feel that they helped you decide to pursue a career in showbiz?
I worked at banks for 12 years. I worked for the British Airlines over at the airport. I was in their VIP lounge. So I think my job, you know, it's like my schooling, actually, because I started learning about people, and I decided, which I think all your viewers should do too, I think make the jobs work for you. Have fun no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're working. You can always find something to enjoy about it. And instead of being upset about what you're doing, I find a way to appreciate where I'm at that time because I feel it's a stepping stone to something else. So working at banks had really helped me because, you know, customers would come up and I'd have to say hello. And then the more I started talking with them and I would compliment them on something, you know, I saw, oh my gosh, this isn't as hard as I thought it would be, becoming friendly and having fun, because I realize that when you put yourself out there, people respond to that. And I think it's so helpful for people to know that. I don't care how shy somebody is. Get over it for that moment and step out of your comfort zone and say hi and just compliment them or ask them if you can help them at the market and start a conversation. And it all worked up to where I'm at now. So I look back and I think how lucky I was.
Now, let's go back to you're working the bank jobs, non-entertainment industry jobs, which a lot of people are now. And there are a lot of people at this moment that are working corporate jobs, and their dream was always to get into working in the entertainment industry. As a general question, what was your breaking point that made you decide that you really wanted to work in the entertainment industry and gave you the confidence to let that Monday through Friday 9-to-5 job go? Because a lot of people have a comfortable job. In this economy especially, they feel very safe working the Monday through Friday 9-to-5 job. They got health benefits. Everything is glory bound. But behind their eyes, you can see that they're not living the dream. They wanted to be working in show business. What do you say to those people who are on the brink, who want to toss off that corporate job and to take a risk and work in the entertainment business? What can you say to help motivate them, and why is it a good reason to do that in this economy?
Well, I think it's a good reason. First of all, I really believe you have to have enough money saved for at least a year's worth of rent. So that's my first thing. I'm very, I would say frugal, but I know how to save money.
Yeah.
And that's important. I wouldn't quit anything and then think it's not that easy to get in television.
Mm-hmm.
My breaking point was I was working for a company and I was sitting in an office all day and that made me kind of nuts and I'd have to get up and walk down the hall and talk to people. And mm-hmm. It was that day I went back into my office, called a friend of mine, and that's why I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm really looking for a new job. And that's when she offered me, you know, to come to meet with Merrill Heater. So, but first and foremost, have money saved. So no matter what you're doing, put money away. So then you can take that opportunity, because it working in television, it's not going to all of a sudden pay you a ton of money right away.
Right.
You know, it's like getting your foot. You might even have to be an intern. If this is really your passion, I really believe if it's something that's your passion, go for it. But be smart about it.
Yes, and I'm glad, Beverly, I'm glad you brought that up about saving, and not only save for rent, but you need to go beyond that, because you got to think about gas. If you are thinking about moving from a small city to LA or New York or wherever it is you want to pursue a career in entertainment, you got to think about transportation. Now, I think that LA has really gotten a lot better with the transportation as far as the buses go, but you really want to have a car, and you got to think about gas, very expensive. It takes a long time of sitting in on the freeway out here, people. So think about gas. So I would not only have enough money saved, so do your research, find an area that you feel you can afford. Also, you got to think about including gas in there. You got to think about, do you have to buy a car? If you're driving your car here, you got to think about your gas and electric. You got to think about your cell phone. So have at least a year for all the basics, not just rent, because I'm telling you, if you get out here, you are going to find the prices to be exorbitant. Not as bad as New York, but pretty expensive.
I agree with you, because it is not just rent. I mean, you need a year to survive, whatever that means for you,
right.
You know. But it incorporates your gas money and your phone bills and, you know, whatever it is, because you don't want to all of a sudden, you know, be stuck. And then what do you do?
Exactly.
Then you're back in a job you don't want to do.
Exactly. You find yourself doing the same job out here because you had experience in the job. Say you were a customer service rep in Philadelphia, and you come out here and you're pursuing a career in entertainment, and then you run out of money. Then you end up getting a job doing customer service again, which is exactly what you don't want to do. So you've got to also think, for example, if you come out here and you want to be an actress, you got to think about the money it's going to cost you to get headshots, acting classes. These are all very, very, very expensive. So factor that in as well. Please don't come out here with $50 in your pocket like some people do and then turn around and have to leave 3 months. Because it happens, Bev. Am I right?
Oh, 100% it happens. But you know, it's not that hard to save money because don't eat at home most of the time. Don't go out drinking and spending $10 for a glass of wine.
Oh,
don't
10,
go to
$20
all the time.
$20. I ordered a double shot of
20.
Alcohol. Cost me $20. I'm like, oh my God! My husband's going to put me out on Sunset Boulevard walking the Strip if I keep ordering.
I'll probably find you there. Okay, that's where I live. I'll drop you a few coins.
Okay, but yeah, you need a lot of money. You got to be smart about it. But you know what, Bev? A lot of people, I tell you, and if you're a person who doesn't like to plan, God bless you is all I say. But some people like to come out here on a thrill, on a whim. They just know they're going to be the next Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie. And they come out here and they don't have money saved. And they end up not only having to work maybe two or three jobs as a waiter and a bartender, but it's very hard and it takes all the joy out of working in the entertainment industry, and then you might end up going back to your hometown with your tail between your legs, and that's not what you want to do. That's why it's so important to be smart about it. Bev, any other recommendations you can give people who are thinking of coming out here, pursuing a career, and you might have some tips for them?
Well, I mean, you know, before you come out here, check online what companies you'd or what shows you'd even like to work on. Because you just never know. Just by happenstance, you call a company and say, I'm coming out and I'm from so-and-so, wherever you're from. Do you have any positions available? And there could be. That's happened to me. So, think outside the box, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Don't wait for somebody to tell you everything. Sometimes you just have to say, well, there's a particular show I really want to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And give them a call or go through there's reality. I think it's Reality Staff, reality.staff.tv, realitystaff.com, I think is what it is. And you can check those out before you come out here. They always have job listings, always.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Realitystaff.com. I'm going to write that down.
Sure, it's realitystaff.com. And you can, or even go on Craigslist and go down to the TV, the TV part. And they list all types of jobs. And, you will just have to get your foot in the door and maybe take a PA job. And that's why, also say saving the money is important because this way when you're out here, it won't be such a hardship. You can do, and then you learn everything while you're working. And I will say, have a great attitude. That's really important. Can I tell you a quick story about somebody who applied for a job with me?
Well, yeah,
There were two girls. I was at... Or should I wait on that?
Oh, well, let's save the funny stories because we're building up to the funny stories.
Well, it's not really a funny story. It really goes along with what we're talking about.
Okay, go ahead.
There were two people I was looking for. They were looking for a job with me. One girl, I had interviewed her. She came in. She was very nice but very stiff. But she had worked in television for, a number of years. Half hour later, I interviewed another girl. I happened to have a cat. She came to my apartment. She was so funny. She sat down. She started talking to me. She was playing with my cat. She had never worked in television. She's the one I hired. I loved her personality and her attitude. So I just wanted to say that's another thing to think about, attitude, when you apply for a position. Sometimes they'll just hire you on attitude alone.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you next. What type of characteristic traits do you have to have to work as a game in casting as a I guess maybe as a successful game show casting let's say director. What you do, what type of characteristic traits do you have to be a successful game show casting director?
Well, first of all, you have to love people. I have a really good eye for people. I'm very blessed that way. I can just meet somebody and know, and you have to be able to kind of read them. And you also have to have a lot of finesse with them and be able to talk with them and meet people on the street. Maybe you're offered a job and they're saying, well, we just want to meet regular people. I need you to go out to the markets. And I do that. So you need to be able to go and speak to anybody. That's really important. If you want to be a casting director, you can't be afraid to go out and go up to strangers and ask questions. And I could tell you funny stories about that. But so that's really important, being a casting director.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. Sometimes you'll book somebody, and then they're going to cancel. So you always have to have a backup plan. You always have to maybe book a couple more people for a particular, let's say it's a game show. You need to have two or three more people for that day. So if somebody does cancel, then you have backup. So you don't want to ever be pressured or worried about your next contestant or the next actor for in the show.
Absolutely. Now, is there any sort of education? What education would you recommend that the person have before attempting to get a job as a game show casting director? Any educational requirements?
Well, my education was working at a bank. I mean, really, honestly, something like that. It's really basically just to get a, you know, understand people. I think in your day-to-day life, and if you know you're outgoing and you know you can approach people, that's really like your schooling. So I don't think you need to go to a school, a particular college for that.
Right.
I didn't.
So as a casting director, they don't have you don't have to learn, have extensive Excel and Word and PowerPoint, and you don't have to do any kind of designing of any sorts. Like, what are some of the daily duties of a casting director? Say, Beverly, you come in the morning. What's a typical day for you as a casting director?
Okay, so casting director on a game show, I'll say, you know, I walk in the morning. Of course, I have a staff, and I ask them, you know, who's booked for the day. Let's say I'm doing auditions, so I try to find out, you know, the number of contestants we have during the day. Then we talk. We always confirm everybody the night before, so that's really important. It's important to be on top of the game when you're working for a company. So they don't have to ask you a lot of questions. You know that your job, what your job is. So it's booking. It's just making sure that everybody's confirmed. It's applications, talking to the contestants, giving them a little brief introduction about the show. And also, if you're out there and you want to be on a game show to win some money, always kind of know how to play the game, too. So if you're on that end, you know, so when you're auditioning contestants, it's important that they know the game that they're playing, if it's
exactly
already been on the air.
If you're gonna try out, I mean, if you want to be a game show contestant, win a lot of money, first start with the shows that you watch and know the show inside and out, I would think, right, Bev?
Oh, 100%. Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, because as a casting director, and if you do want to be a casting director, you don't have a lot of time to teach the game if it's something they should have seen. You want to know it's their passion. They're like, oh my gosh, I want to be on this show, and I know exactly how to play the game. And that's the most important thing. So it's a lot about personality and silly and you know, depending on the game show, and being loud and giving your answers direct.
Because I know that not every show, of course, they want people who are upbeat and perky, et cetera, but different shows require different types of people. Like, you wouldn't want someone that was completely bubbly and perky and cheery for Jeopardy. That requires more of a educational,
right,
you know, that type of acumen. So you should try to go on game shows that you are not familiar with, you should really start with the ones that you are. And of course, there are new game shows, I think, happening all the time. So I would imagine that there are listings, because I had another game show casting director on last year, and sometimes he casts initially for the show. So with people, with the show not having been on air, how do you, as a casting director, choose people for the show when it's never been on the air before? Do they give you specs, like, we want this type of person, we give these tasks? What do you do for your job that in that capacity? What do you do?
Oh, yeah, that's happened where you just do a pilot for a show, and, you know, the contestants come in, and basically, you know a personality, and you teach them the game while they're there, and they're not usually that hard. So you teach them a bit of the game, and then you play the game, or you give them a test, and you see how their test scores are. But, you're right, Priscilla. I mean, Jeopardy is a different type of contestant. That's why I was saying that it is important to know the show that you're auditioning for, so you understand what the casting director is looking for. And, so when you go in, and if it's a brand-new show, if it's a great casting director, because I don't like to lose really good people. People come in and they are a little shy maybe at first, but if you work with them for 20 seconds or 30 seconds and they can do it, they do it. But they don't always understand exactly what you want the first, you know, for that moment. But they're pretty good contestants, are pretty workable, you know.
How do you, now, of course, as we were just talking about Jeopardy, I presume there's very extensive testing done to get on a game show like Jeopardy, but do they have similar testing before they qualify on shows like Are You Similar? Are you smart as a fifth grader? Because I know that's pretty hard.
All right. Can I tell you a funny story about that?
Yeah.
Okay, I met a woman in a bathroom, it's funny, at a restaurant, and she told me her husband, oh my gosh, my husband's the smartest guy in the world, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, bring him into fifth grader. So he comes into Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, and the guy nailed it. Not only did he nail one test, he nailed both, and they were hard, right? So we have no idea who's going to win or lose. It's all on the up and up, you have no idea. But we thought we'd bring him in, and, you know, we brought him in. And the guy got on television, and he lost on the second grade question.
Oh.
So, you know, never know. And years later, I put him on another show I was casting, and he walked home with $6,000. But, you know, so when you say, you know, the testing, yeah, testing means, but, you know, you get on camera, and you get a little nervous, and it's very different than sitting in your house. I mean, I could just do a show just on the funny stories.
Well, for Jeopardy, they've got a test. So for Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, they don't do that extensive test.
No, they do. On Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, I mean, they do the same type of test, just different, you know, they're looking for a little bit different personalities on the show. But, no, they're pretty extensive tests.
Mm.
You know, some are verbal. I mean, I've given a lot of verbal tests. You play the game with the contestant, and then you see how they answer. So some of it is a written test, and then some of it is a verbal test, because you want to know what they're going to look like when they're on camera, how they're going to react on camera. So it's important to do a written test, and then if you like them, then do a verbal test.
And what are you looking for with the written and verbal test? What should they be focusing on?
Oh, the verbal
test. Please you, Beverly.
I mean, I had a contestant.
Please you.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. I had this girl on, and we always tell you, whether you know the answer or not, just shout it out like you know the answer. Because if you're right, you're going to make a great face, and you're going to be so happy. And if you're wrong, you're going to make another great face, and the camera's going to be happy. I mean, you can't lose, right?
Right.
So I get on set, and the girl, and so I say, just shout your answers out like I know it. And she goes, and she saw me standing there, and her answer was, she goes, vinegar, really quiet. And then she saw me, and she yells out, I mean vinegar. It was so funny. Oh, my gosh. It was so funny.
Out.
I started laughing. Because I believe the more energy and the more enthusiastic you have, the audience is pulling for you.
Yeah.
They want you to. So they're like cheering you on. They're like, come on, Priscilla, come on, we want you to win. But if you're kind of quiet and shy, they're probably like, okay, bye.
Exactly.
So it's better for you as a contestant to have fun with it.
This is what I always say to everybody. It's entertainment. People want to be entertained. People, so get up. If you're going to be on television, entertain. And if you feel uncomfortable entertaining, don't go on television because it's going to be a stressful, traumatic experience for you. Well, you probably won't even make it past the casting directors, but I have seen some shows where the contestants were really dull and boring, and the host, I mean, had to, it was like pulling teeth for the host to get some sort of reaction out of the show, out of the contestant. So I don't know how they got past the casting director on that one.
Well, I'll tell you a really quick funny story on Family Feud. We had a contestant, happened to be one of my families that I found out in the field, and this woman was really funny. And we always, so before they get on, you know, the podium, she yelled out, so the contestant yells out, they go, are you ready? And she yells out, all right, I'm ready. And her underpants fell down. They
oh
get caught on her.
One
of the camera crew, they had to grab the underpants, push her on stage, and she yelled out, that is the last time I'm wearing my underpants over my pantyhose. I said, Nadine, what happened? And she goes, well, Beverly, I had my arms up in the air, and I hear pop, and there are my bloomers hanging right around my ankles. So I tell contestants, hold on to your underwear. Oh, my God, I have so many funny stories.
I can relate to that because I remember, I mean, I never, when I first wore pantyhose, I couldn't figure out whether you wore your undies over them or under them. So I decided to put the pantyhose over the undies, and I'm sitting there, and it was for a job interview because I hate nylons. I hate stockings. Oh, Lord. So I was sitting in a job interview, and of course, you know, I got some, I'm a little fluffy. I'm a fluffy person. So I'm sitting in the interview, and I guess the nylons were too small, and I felt them rolling down my hips, like over my roll. And after they made it over the roll, they were coming down my thighs, and I thought, what do I do? And I couldn't focus on the interview because the nylons had rolled underneath my little pouch. So I can completely relate to that woman. That must have been traumatic.
Oh my God, it was so funny to watch though. And she was a sport, and the whole family was hysterical, and needless to say, they lost that game.
Oh God bless.
But it was really, really funny.
Well, let me say, Beverly, now beside the possibility of making money, what are So now I know this answer, but we'll just pose it to you. What are some of the other great reasons to apply for a game show or reality show? But I'm going to just say what I feel is a great reason, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but if you are an aspiring actor or actress, I know this is going to sound crazy, but getting on a game show or a reality show, even better, a reality show, is another venue. It's another way. And people say, why would you say that? Let me point out, Grimm, one of the best shows on television on NBC, NBC's Grimm, this guy, the lead actor, hot as anything, like smoking hot, his name is David Giantoli, and he plays Nick Burkhart. He graduated with a bachelor's degree in international finance and business, and he relocated to Los Angeles because he decided, I don't want to work in finance and business. I want to be an actor. So he came out here. He started taking classes at a repertory theater company. And then he went and applied for this reality show. And he was accepted on the reality show. He had never had any acting experience other than, you know, taking acting classes. And he got cast on The Challenge in 1998 and then Road Rules in 1994. And of course, people saw him, and he's a beautiful man, which helped. But not only that, he continued taking his acting classes because he didn't want to just be known as a reality television star. And he ended up getting cast for Privilege, and then he was on Eli Stone in 2008. And then eventually he got the leading role of Nick Burkhart on NBC's Grimm. So it is a really good idea to get on a reality television show. And then also there were a couple actors that were on a show way back in the day. I know you remember it, Beverly. It was called Dog Eat Dog. They started out as contestants on that show, and they ended up with extensive working careers in acting. So it's a great opportunity to get on a game show. What do you think?
Yeah, Kirstie Alley, she was on a show. Marky Post was on a show.
Really? I didn't know that.
Game shows. Then I think she worked with, I used to chaperone the dating game, and, you know, they always had. No, see, they had actors. It's very different now, though. Let me explain. If you're an actor to go on a game show, you don't get your actor's rate for the day, so you have to waive all that. You don't get SAG or AFTRA. Right. Years ago, they did. So when they go on a show, never say you're an aspiring actor when you audition. Can I tell you a quick story,
Yeah,
I think your viewers will appreciate this. There was a guy, he was an actor, blah, blah, blah. Okay, audition for the show, I put him on. Before the show in the morning, I come upstairs, and my producers, and we wanted them to watch the show before they came downstairs to play, just to refresh their memory and if they have any questions. So I come upstairs, and all the producers are saying to me, Bev, take a look at that guy. And there's this contestant sitting with his legs up reading a newspaper. I went over to him, and I said, hey, I said, you know, you really should watch the show a little bit because you're going downstairs in a few minutes, and you might have questions. He said, okay. So about 3-4 minutes go by, and he's not paying any attention. So I went over to him again really nicely, and I said, are you watching the show? And he goes, now there's like 30 people in the room. He said, what part of yes didn't you understand?
Ooh! No, he didn't.
So help me God. So I looked at him, and all I said was, could you come here for a second? And I brought him in the hallway, and I looked at him, and I went, bye-bye. And he looked at me. I said, bye-bye. I sent him home. I said, no. Can you imagine what he would be like downstairs with on the tape?
God.
I said, he is not. Anyway, so.
Yeah, you don't know. I'm telling you. I did the extras scene when I first came here. I thought, it would be fun to be an extra on some shows, learn the business from the bottom up when I first came to L.A. And I tell you, the work ethic was practically non-existent. You got people talking about people behind their back, talking about directors and talking about the stars of the show when they worked on there, and just gossip galore. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what are you doing? You never do this. This is so tacky, and it's just totally unethical. And I just always tell people, please don't participate in gossip, and don't put your feet up on anything, and don't go cruising over to the crafts table eating food. And you have to speak when spoken to, and just be professional, or else you will get kicked off of the show. And it doesn't matter, game show, reality show, or any other television show, to just be professional. So, Beverly, I want to, it's 5:42, it's just flown by, and I want to get some of your great stories in there. So I know that you have, let's start with the favorite shows that I love that you worked on. Family Feud. I hear that you had a wonderful story. Oh, you told us that, the one about her drawers dropped on the floor. Okay. And the dad, we talked about that. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? But then what about the lingo, the story with the girl winning $175,000?
The story there was, I was in a shopping mall in Century City, and I met a girl, and she was on her cell phone, but I stopped her anyway. That's why I'm good at what I do, because I will approach people if I like something about them. Anyway, I put her on Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, and she walked home with $175,000.
Wow.
And then a year or two later, I put her on Lingo, and she'd gotten engaged, and she walked home with another $250,000.
My God. Oh my God! Is that part of your job? Do you have to go out and market and network and get your own people, or do you have people do that for you?
No, I sometimes get hired just to be out in the field, because they know I just have a really good eye for people. I don't have to like go on Craigslist and find 500 people because. So I go out in the field a lot because I kind of have a feeling what the show is looking for.
I'd love that.
And I do
both.
I'm in the office.
I love people too. I think we need to tag team it, Bev. We need to hit them all.
And I'll tell you, I happened to go to a restaurant one day. This is really funny, and this is what I want your viewers to listen to, because you got to be nice to people. I go to a restaurant. I ordered a carrot juice. I was with a friend. It just tasted a bit rancid, so I was very nice. I just said, would it be all right if I had something else? Well, this waitress took that the carrot juice, and huffy puffy with her eyes, walked away. So, okay, fine, brought me something else. Who comes into audition for my game show a month later?
That
always. You know what? I never put her on.
See, this is exactly what I talk about. But people, you know, today, these people are rude to receptionists and casting assistants. And tomorrow, they're going to be the casting directors and the producers of the future. And I don't understand. There is never a need to act that way to anyone. Never. Never.
There's a great saying called, you might have heard this, be careful of the toes you step on today. They may be connected to the ass you have to kiss tomorrow.
Oh, my God. I've never heard that, and I love it. Love it!
So funny. You know, it pays to be nice, because the other day I was at a sandwich shop, and I just felt like buying a sandwich for somebody. So the girl in behind, I said, I'm going to buy you lunch. And she said, oh, she couldn't believe it. She was like shocked, blah, 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 not a big deal. So I bought her lunch. And then we started talking. It turns out she's directing a movie. I said, really? So she took my card. I mean, who knew, you know?
Well, I can't tell you, Beverly. I can't tell you how many people have been trying to get me on a game show for years. I've ended up becoming...
You would be perfect. Oh, my God, Priscilla. You would be hysterical.
Well, you know what? I do. I mean, I have a friend. I don't know if you know Alex Shaw. She casts for a lot of shows. I think... I can't remember the production company. But she had tried to get my husband and I on a couple game shows. And then Holland Stripling, she cast for... Biggest Loser, the Biggest Loser, and various others. So I got like four friends that do that, and they're like, oh, I got a new show, can you be on? And my husband and I turn them down, and I tell you one of the reasons, and this is
why,
is going to fit in, because they have, and you know what, this is really good, and I understand why you guys do this, because there are some mental cases and lunatics out there, and you've got to screen them, but the packages that you have to fill out, it's like,
oh my God.
Thick as
a unbelievable.
I said no. My mind, I can't do it. Can't do it. And that's the only reason.
I agree with you on there. On certain game shows, though, like a Catch 21, all you did was fill out one piece of paper. It was so simple. Your name, your age, your address. That's it. I agree with you. They. I don't understand all that sometimes.
There are some wackos, and they used to let anybody come on the shows back in the day, right? But now they have so many lawsuits, because I think I heard, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think I heard there were some serious stalking issues with the contestants, with a couple hosts back in the 80s and 90s or something. But they have to do that. The legal bigwigs, the lawyers, have to make you sign those. And I understand it, but I'm just not one that's going to be doing it. And I say, God, I feel so bad, because I would have been perfect on these game shows. I don't care necessarily about the money. That would be great. But I would love to play the game, because I like the competition of it. And I'd be so excited. I know what would happen. I would dominate the host, because none of them are high energy for me. I'd steal the show. I'm like, oh no, they would never hire me on another game show, because I'm just so full of energy and I get excited about it. But I could never do the paperwork, Bev, which is...
But it's funny you say that, because I do. I always tell my contestants, one thing, you cannot be funnier than the host. I always tell them that. So it's funny you said that, because, I said, this is a game show. You're not auditioning to be a host. You're not auditioning to, for a part in a movie. It's a game show.
That's right.
In your heart, have fun, but be silly. I mean, I tell people to have fun and be silly and laugh and talk, have all the enthusiasm. But you can't. Oh, and you wanted to know the name of the show that Alfonso was on.
Yes!
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Thank you. So that is the same guy, Carlton, who did that really wacky, cool little dance, right?
Yeah. And he was a doll to work with. He was terrific host. I loved working with him. I mean, I really liked all the hosts. Alex Trebek was great, and they were all really,
Beverly, I didn't even get to ask you how it was working with my fantasy man, Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, Ryan. Oh, it was one of his first shows. He was a doll. I loved working with Ryan. I did another show for him later, some kids show. But he was one of his first shows. He was really sweet. It was called Wild Animal Games. Every day we'd go to work, we'd have wild animals, and he'd, you know, work with an orangutan or a chimpanzee or an elephant. But he was terrific. He had a lot of energy,
he
was going to go places. Yeah. I just said, this guy is going to do really well. And he hasn't changed. A few times I run into him, he's just as nice. I mean, he's a really cool guy.
He seems probably the hardest working host in show business. I mean, I think I can remember at one time, I know he has a production company now because I'm all about the Kardashians. I'm obsessed. I'm still upset I was not born a Kardashian, but I know he does. I know he produces that show along with so many others, and then he has the radio show, and then he hosts American Idol, and he's like a workaholic. But hey, I respect him and admire him because he maintains a great professional level. So, God, Beverly, guess what? Beverly, we're going to have you back on the show because guess what? It is 5:50 and it's time to do the Carol Burnett ear ringing because I got to end the show and I want to talk to you for 5 more hours.
Okay.
Well, I know. So would you come back on the show and finish telling us some stories maybe in 6 months or the end of the year?
Of course. Oh, sure. This is a lot of fun. Yeah.
Now, I just want to get in real quick that you teach game show seminars so possible contestants know what to expect on their audition. How can people get to you? Because I know you don't have a website, which we're going to talk about, honey. I need to put a website up for you. But how can people get to you to sign up for your seminars?
They can just Facebook, go on Facebook. And because I don't have one together yet. But I have done them in the past, but I can still do them. It's a great way, so if I get enough people, I will put a game show seminar together.
I think it's an excellent idea because people need to learn how to get on game shows and win money because I tell you, it's quick money, and in this economy, we need every venue possible to get some cheddar, as they say, on the streets, as the crystal meth say. I've been watching Breaking Bad, so I'm now using the word get some cheddar. I didn't even know what that meant before I started watching the show.
Cheese.
I know. Well, no, cheddar actually means money. I thought of cheese too, but apparently it means money out in the hood. So I'm trying to get hip here. Bev, thank you so much for coming on the show. I can't tell you how much you've helped the guests today. I love that you're going to come back on. Email me and let me know when you can come back, and we will tell some more of your stories. We still have to go through All-Star Blitz. We got to talk about Classic Concentration, Million Dollar Chance of a Lifetime, Million Dollar Money Drop, Hollywood Showdown. I think we did that with the characters. But
Do we have time? Can I tell them one really quick, or do we not have time?
You know what?
We'll save it.
Let's save it, Beverly. So I want to thank everybody for... there goes my tea all over the floor. Okay, I want to thank everybody for listening to Question Reality. We thank Beverly Pomerantz for being on the show. Go to Facebook.com, Beverly.Pomerantz, and she's going to come back with us because she's got a million stories. And hey, if you want to take one of her seminars, email me, email her. Let's get a seminar together so you can get on a game show and win some damn money so you can take that dream vacation or set up that sexual harem that you always wanted. So there you go. Beverly, thank you. Say goodbye to your fans.
Bye, everybody. I hope it helps. And have fun in life and enjoy every moment. Just have fun and talk to people and be silly and love life.
Loving it. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.